The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall die." Then, well, I guess that's the end of that one. It's so exciting, I want to keep reading. And then chapter 3, verses 6 through 7. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. This is the word of God for the people of God.
We live in a world that is so polarized in many places with binary code. If I'm right, that person who have a different opinion is wrong. That kind of mentality. We see that many places, politics, economy, education, and even religion. And it is election season. I don't know about you, but I'm really tired. I am so tired of hearing about it and watching any video clip supporting a particular candidate, because I don't hear their kind of pledges. I have heard many of you feel the same. If you feel the same, let me just remind you, Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of us in this polarized world? It says, do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. It should be the core message we should have in mind in our time when we think about all the matters in our world. Let us be just, kind, and humble. Especially when we see the people and when we talk with the people who have different opinions. So we struggle with good and evil. We find that struggle between good and evil so many places. And let me just remind you of some modern day villains in many ways and many films. Yeah, you may guess who they are in what film, right? They have been sort of ingrained in our culture, and they represent evil. And in most of those stories and the films, the good won over the evil in the end. And we need that happen. We want that happen. And that's part of our story. And I believe and hope someday good will conquer evil in every one of those stories. You know there is a hero. Somebody who is willing to stand up against evil and willing to sacrifice for a chance to save the world. And in the end, good triumphs over evil. And we have the ultimate model, hero, in the Bible. We don't believe it is some kind of a story that somebody made up. We believe in it. We believe Jesus Christ came to show us the way, invite us, and inspire us to be a part of this great battle alongside him. And he laid down his life for us on a cross. And then he was raised from the dead to triumph over evil. And he called us and sent us out to spend the rest of our lives as his followers, pushing back the darkness. That is our story. It drives us in our struggles between good and evil. Sometimes we want to think that those villains remain in films. You stay there, in my town, in my home, in my neighborhood, I hope it's going to be really safe, peaceful. But we know that's not true. We watch the news, evening news and morning news, and we watch them online. That shows us that evil is all around us, and that is real. Hate crime, discrimination, gun shooting, killing others, making people small. Evil is very much part of a human condition. When you look back at the last century, 20th century, that was so good, right? We made a great advance in technology. We feel that, we feel accomplished. But when we see, when we think about the evil that happened in the 20th century, that was more than all the rest of the human history combined. There was a data, statistic report. In the last century, there were 249 armed conflict and war, and over 231 million of people unnecessarily died as a result. 231 million people. Not only in the films, but we may be quickly reminded of villains in our history. You remember Jewish people. Who made that evil? Those were European Christians, European Lutheran, Catholic, and followers of Christ. How did that happen? So part of what I want to do with these cases, it is to say that evil exists. And it doesn't just exist in other people or terrible people, but in our community as well. W.H. Auden said, evil shares our bed and eats at our table. So we have to recognize within ourselves the capacity to do evil. That's part of who we are as human beings. And that's why we need God's help every day. We struggle with this every day. Somehow it defines us in many ways. So it is not easy to define evil. So in our denomination, if you want to be an ordained pastor, of course, you need a Master of Divinity, and you take a minimum of 5-year process, ordination process. And the part of the process is that you have to make a paper, about 50 or 60 page papers, to respond to a specific list of questions. And one of the questions is, what is your understanding of evil as it exists in the world? Define evil. So I made my definition of evil out of the creation story. And I said, I define evil as the absence or lack of God's love and grace, and emptiness of God's will, which brings harmful and destructive causality in our human lives and the creation. And I thought that was good at the time. I thought, yeah, it's cool. It's brilliant. But preparing this sermon, no. Not at all. That's not enough at all. Maybe that is acceptable understanding, but that time, no. We need more. Let me ask you, how do you define evil that we are struggling? John Wesley mentioned about three kinds of evil: personal evil that we make, and systemic evil that the society causes harm and the community. And the third one is natural evil. Somebody like Stephanie Wright's family. somebody who lost their house and beloved one by hurricane, typhoon, or tornado. How can you explain that? That is evil. But when you say evil, we need to be careful, because when I was in Africa, we were a mission team. We had a mission team, went to Zimbabwe, proclaiming the good news and helping the people in the community. And one day in the morning, the television was not working. And one of my friends said, "Oh!" Just like this happened, when that happened, my friend said, "A demon, Satan, doesn't want me to preach." Let us pray over the television. There are some people who say natural evil like that, but no. Maybe, hopefully, we will talk about that later. When the child of God, everyone, is hurt by nature, we call that. Anyway, Webster Dictionary defines evil as the fact of suffering, misfortune, and wrongdoing. I think it is still not enough. What is evil? Evil will certainly be our desire or seeking of our self-gratification, even though when we know it is wrong. To make it short, the basic definition of evil might be a wrong thing to pursue and seek for our self-gratification. If we go further, evil is seeking something that we know that would hurt people around us, to have my happiness. If we want to take one step further, evil is hurting other people, intentionally or unintentionally. Believe it or not, it is our struggle. We struggle with this. In our scripture reading today, we have one of the most fundamental stories in the Bible. It is about the violation of God's commandment done by two people, Adam and Eve. And this is all about struggles. Some people see them as historical figures. Others see those people as symbolic or archetypal figures. Regardless of how you see them, the point of this story is not to teach us the ancient story thousands and thousands of years ago. The point is to teach us about ourselves and help us mirror up to our soul, to ourselves. And what we find is Adam and Eve, they represent us. I am Adam. And I am Eve at some point in a season of my life. And they represent you and me. And God allowed them to do so many things. Technically, everything except just one thing. But what they did was that one. Violation. Isn't it our story? If somebody tell you not to do that, what do you feel? During the Christmas season, your wife told you, "Do not open the box until Christmas morning." Were you not curious about the box? Whether you actually open it or not, are you not curious? Is that just me? My wife told me many years ago, "Do not open that box until Christmas morning." But I was really curious, and I checked my Amazon account. Because we share one Amazon account, so I found, okay, this might be that one. Maybe that one. Maybe this one. I didn't open the box. I just opened my Amazon account. Please don't tell me it's only me. Or grass on the other side is always greener. That is our story. We find a talking snake. The next one. Talking snake, temptation, and self-justification that we hear in our mind. I hear that every day. And I'm guessing you do. This is our story. The Apostle Paul says, it is his story. He said, I do not do the good that I want, but the evil that I do not want, that is what I do. The Apostle Paul. And every day we wrestle with the talking snake. Psychologist Carl Jung described this as the shadow. We have shadow in our mind, and we wrestle with the shadow. Every day we decide whether we have given ourselves to the shadow or not, dark side, or whether we walk in the light. That is a regular part of our journey, and we know there is a path. There is a path that we are supposed to walk. If I walk on that path, the Bible says, Jesus says, there is life. So we find so many stories like Moses' last word to his people. He said, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Choose life. And Joshua, he said the same thing. He said, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. I love him. So part of the task that we have to wrestle with, it is to understand that there is the path that Jesus mentioned, and we are meant to walk with him. Then what is the path? What does that look like? From our childhood, we have learned so many things about the path. You have learned it from your parents, grandparents, or your Sunday school teachers, or your neighbors, or your friends, and your community. And you have conscience and morality, which help us to find the path. In our Methodist belief, conscience and morality, they are the signs that we are created in the image of God. That's the part of our nature as human beings. And here is what we Christians believe. And the scripture help us to do. And this is what Jesus came to do. In fact, he said, I'm the way. He said, I'm the way and the truth and life. And we call ourselves Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. In the early Christian, early church Christians, they called themselves followers of the way, because Jesus is the way. So when I look at Jesus, how he lived, that is how I want to live. How he spoke, that is how I want to speak. How he is, that is how I want to live my life. So every day we wake up and we make a choice and we say, Lord, one more day, I want to walk on this path. I choose you, Lord. I want to live today in my word, in my thought, action, and deed, and my being with my love, grace, mercy, kindness, and forgiveness. I choose you. I want to follow you. I want to be the person that you want me to be every day morning. So Lord, help me. I need you. Help me love more. Help me forgive more. Help me be kind more. Help me to do justice. Help me to walk humbly with you. Amen. Amen. Then I want to extend this message further in our lives, this wrestling between good and evil. It is not always personal. We have people around us, and we need people around us. That's why Jesus created this community. Church is not my idea or your idea. It is not your grandparents' idea. It's Jesus' idea. It was initiated by Jesus because it is like Jesus' idea saying, you need more than a person. You need other people who are going to encourage you, help you accountable, help you walk in the way. Not tempted by talking snake, but walk in this path. So that's why, why don't you look at each other and say, thank you. And I say thank you to all of you. Thank you. You make me accountable in my journey walking with God. You know what? In our journey, when we do that, God goes with you in our struggle. Amen. Why don't we pray just one time? Let's pray. God, we offer ourselves, our lives to you. Help us walk on the path to seek your way, to love you and love the people you bring in our lives. Lord, help us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with you, especially in this season and in this polarized world. Help us be the example of love, grace, and forgiveness that you have showered in our lives. Amen. Every day we face challenges and some kind of temptation that we